Good evening.
Good evening.
So kind of goes a little bit into what Super Dave was talking about and Jared's prayer as well. But hope everyone had a Merry Christmas to those who observe. I want to say I'm very thankful for the message that Mr. Simpson gave. I still haven't quite listened to the whole thing yet, but I got the gist of it. And I think it's very important for us to know Saturday was not the day that Jesus was born in the flesh. Kind of how I explained to Janora is for her birthday party, we went to Missoula for a party. Then we had a party, a small party here. Neither one of those were on her actual birthday. So we were essentially just explaining to her that it's a celebration of the birth. So the great thing about Christmas is that people are very vocal about the birth of Christ. A lot of God-fearing people, and even just people that are aware of the time. It's a great point for us to start a conversation. Now, Christ didn't come here for us to celebrate his birth and to exchange gifts with one another. He did come bearing gifts, one of which is the ultimate gift. But turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, starting off in verse 1. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be unaware. You know that when you were pagans, you were led astray to the mute idols, however you were led. Therefore, I make known to you that no one speaking by the Spirit of God says, Jesus is accursed, and no one can say, Jesus is Lord, except by the Holy Spirit. Now there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are varieties of ministries, and the same Lord. There are varieties of effects, but the same God, who works all things in all persons. But to each one is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, and to another the word of knowledge according to the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit, and to another, gifts of healing by the one Spirit. And to another, the effecting of miracles, and to another, prophecy, to another, the distinguishing of spirits, to another, various kinds of tongues, and to another, the interpretation of tongues. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually, just as he wills. So the main point here is there are many gifts, but one Spirit. Now, I've been in a position where I've worked 60 to 80 hours in a week to make sure that we have a roof over our head, food on the table, and yes, even to save up for the Christmas time, so we can put presents under the tree. Occasionally, there were work nights where I'd be up until working until 11, and then up at 4 a.m. for work again. But nothing that I've done is in comparison to what Christ has done, for the suffering that Christ endured for us. Beaten, flogged, he had a crown of thorns. He had to carry his cross. He had to hang on the cross, writhing in pain, drowning in his blood, suffocating. He endured all of that so he could give us the one gift that matters. Christ shed his blood to give us this gift, to give us his Spirit, and to give us fellowship with God. So you can give me a smartwatch. It doesn't do me very much good unless I know how others use it and how or what it can do for me. Now let's turn to Acts chapter 1. In Acts 1, we're going to start off in verse 2. Until the day when he was taken up to the heaven, after he had, by the Holy Spirit, given orders to the apostles whom he had chosen, to these he also presented himself alive after his suffering, by many convincing proofs, appearing to them over a period of 40 days, and speaking of the things concerning the kingdom of God. Gathering them together, he commanded them not to leave Jerusalem, but to wait for what the Father had promised, which, he said, you heard of from me. For John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. So in verse 2, he's given the orders to the apostles to stay in Jerusalem in verse 4. To wait for the promise. Verse 5 tells us that's the baptism with the Holy Spirit. So back to Acts 1, verse 9. After he had said these things, he was lifted up while they were looking on, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And as they were gazing intently into the sky, while he was going, behold, two men in white clothing stood beside them. They also said, Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking into the sky? This Jesus, who has been taken up from you into heaven, will come in just the same way as you have watched him go into heaven. So the verse 9 there, the they that we're speaking about, is still the apostles from verse 2. The apostles in verse 11 is referenced to as the men of Galilee. Verse 13 confirms that we're still talking about the 11 remaining apostles. And we pop down to verse 26. That's where Matthias drew lots and essentially won the apostleship. But kind of a strange way to be joined in there, casting lots and see who has won the dice roll. So Matthias drew favor here. How do we know that is what God wanted? That God would bless it. That we find in Acts 2, starting in verse 1. So when the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place, and suddenly there came from heaven a noise like a violent rushing wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. And there appeared to them tongues as of fire, distributing themselves, and they rested on each one of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and began to speak with their tongues as the Spirit was giving them utterance. So verse 1 that they were still talking about is still the now 12 apostles from the end of chapter 1. And here we hear the violent rushing of wind, the tongues of fire that rested on each of them. That includes Matthias. Shows that God approves of this, or that he's otherwise pleased with Matthias, his apostleship. In verse 4, the they again is the 12 apostles. and they're all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they're speaking in tongues. As the Spirit is giving this ability to speak. So the apostles, having been baptized with the Holy Spirit, speaking in tongues. They've received the gifts, plural, of the Spirit. Here, I want to take a moment to mention that I had a misunderstanding. I want to make sure I don't portray that out to you guys, where the baptism of the Holy Spirit does not necessarily mean that that's where the ability to pass on the gifts. That's just what happened here in the apostles' example. For example, Cornelius received the same baptism that they had received with the Holy Spirit, But there's no record of Cornelius passing on the gifts. Now let's turn to Acts chapter 6. Acts chapter 6, we're going to start off in verse 5. So the statement found approval with the whole congregation, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Spirit, and Philip, and Prochorus, Nicanor, Timon, Pyraminus, Nicholas, a proselyte from Antioch. And these they brought before the apostles, and after praying, they laid their hands on them. The word of God kept on spreading, and the number of the disciples continued to increase greatly in Jerusalem, and a great many of the priests were becoming obedient to the faith. And Stephen, full of grace and power, was performing great wonders and signs among the people. So verse 2 is again telling us that the 12 apostles, and verse 6 is telling us that they laid their hands on them. I wanted to bring two people in particular out here, Stephen and Philip, kind of as names of interest. So Stephen, after having the hands of the apostles laid on him, in verse 8, was performing great wonders and signs. Let's remember Philip for a minute, and we're going to turn to Acts chapter 8. So in Acts chapter 8, we're going to start off in verse 12. But when they believed Philip preaching the good news about the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, they were being baptized, men and women alike. Even Simon himself believed. After being baptized, he continued on with Philip. And as he observed signs and great miracles taking place, he was constantly amazed. Now, when the apostles in Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent them Peter and John, who came down and prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Spirit. For he had not yet fallen upon any of them. They had simply been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Then they began laying their hands on them, and they were receiving the Holy Spirit. Now when Simon saw that the Spirit was bestowed through the laying on of the apostles' hands, he offered them money, saying, "Give this authority to me as well, so that everyone on whom I lay my hands may receive the Holy Spirit." So verse 13, we are seeing that Philip is performing these great signs and miracles. Verse 16 brings out that, it makes a comment, that simply baptized in Jesus' name. Kind of puts a downplay on the baptism in Jesus' name with the word simply. Now, what Super Dave brought out, Acts 2:38 tells us that the baptism in Jesus' name, for the forgiveness of your sins, to receive the gift, singular, of the Holy Spirit, that's what that baptism is for. Romans 8:16 tells us that the gift of the Holy Spirit is what sets us apart as the children of God. Now there's a Facebook meme going around with Boromir. One does not simply walk into Mordor. So the use, I'm sure there's some type of a meme we can make out of this, but the use of simply here and the surrounding context is not downplaying the importance or the miraculousness of the baptism in Jesus' name. It's indicating that we're talking about something that this baptism does not give us. Something that's missing. Something that's not provided through this immersion. Verse 13, verse 19 and 20. Really puts it in a physical mindset that we're looking at gifts of the Spirit. It is not through the baptism in Jesus' name that we receive the gifts of the Spirit, but instead we receive the best, the gift of the Holy Spirit. So in verse 17, the they that we're talking about is apostles Peter and John. So verse 17 and 18, we can get out of that the gifts are passed on by the laying on of the apostles' hands. And that's the key right there. Are the gifts alive today? As always, let's look at the scripture to see if the scripture how the scripture will guide us. Let's turn to Acts 9, verse 31. Just one verse here, but pretty important one, I think. So Acts 9, 31. So the church throughout all Judea and Galilee and Samaria enjoyed peace, being built up and going on in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Spirit. It continued to increase. So what I wanted to bring out here, in at least these three areas that we're told here, that the church is enjoying peace as it was being built up. I wanted to place emphasis on the being built up part. Let's turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. In 1 Corinthians 13, we're going to start off in verse 8. Love never fails. But if there are gifts of prophecy, they will be done away. If there are tongues, they will cease. If there is knowledge, it will be done away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when the perfect comes, the partial will be done away. So prophecy, tongues, knowledge will be done away with. We are told in the same scripture that the partial will be done away with. Also, that when the perfect comes, that's when the partial will be done away with. So that when perfect comes, perfection. How do we become perfect? Really, it's in the receiving Christ, receiving the Holy Spirit. Again, Acts 2:38. So at this time, when they're going through this writing or in real time, do they have access to the Holy Spirit? Do they have access to perfection? Again, Acts 2:38. Yes. So the perfection that they're keying into here is about something else. So what do we have today that the apostles and the early church did not have? That's the New Testament. That's right. They lived it. They wrote it. We get to read it. We get to benefit from it. So now the question becomes, is the Word of God perfect? When the perfect comes, the partial will be done away with. Now let's turn to Ephesians chapter 4. In Ephesians 4, we're going to start off in verse 8. Therefore it says, when he ascended on high, he led captive a host of captives, and he gave gifts to men. Now this expression, he ascended, what does it mean except that he also descended into the lower parts of the earth? He who descended is himself also he who ascended far above all the heavens so that he might fill all things. And he gave some as apostles, some as prophets, some as evangelists, some as shepherds. I'm changing that word because that's what the Greek comes over more as a shepherd. This is the only time that I've found in the NASB that it's used as a pastor. But to continue on, there in verse 11, some as shepherds and teachers for the equipping of the saints for the work of service to the building up of the body of Christ. So here, the gifts to men from verse 8. We have apostles, prophets, evangelists, shepherds, and teachers. In verse 12, given for the building up of the body of Christ. So the body of Christ is really kind of a new concept for the early church. Really kind of the first time it's really been explained and understood. Remember back in Acts 9:31, that one verse we had that one reading from, where I placed emphasis on the building up. The peace while the church was being built up. The church being the body of Christ. New congregations still needed to build firm foundations. A lot of the New Testament really was a letter to correct those early churches, early congregations. So with the strong congregations, really with a firm foundation, we're still in the process of being built up. Kind of plays off a little bit like from this morning, a link to like refined like silver. I think that can be applied to a congregation as well as an individual. But kind of my opinion here, the early church, the focus there was really to get the gospel out, to reach as many as possible to the ends of the earth. Colossians 1:23 is to proclaim to every creature under heaven. So I think the goal was quantity. Get it out, get people to understand, exposed to it, understand it, to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. Let's turn back to 1 Corinthians chapter 14. In 1 Corinthians 14, we're going to read verse 22. So then tongues are for a sign not to those who believe, but to unbelievers. But prophecy is for a sign, not to unbelievers, but to those who believe. So some gifts were given specifically for unbelievers. Some were given specifically for believers. Really, everything was given, brought into the world, to build up the body of Christ, to add living stones to the temple, to the spiritual temple. There's no physical gift then it can amount to the spiritual gift that Christ gave us, that fellowship with God.